Like he said, my name is Mary Thielen, and I am a graduate student at Texas A&M. And before I start my presentation, I'd like to note that this is a completely different topic than what's in the program. So if you were expecting what's listed in the program, I can talk to you about it later. But today I'm going to talk about PM10 sampler bias, and I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on this presentation, Drs. Faulkner, Shaw, and Dr. Parnell. First, I'd like to start out with telling you why this is significant to those of you who are in the cotton industry. As many of you know, states regulate cotton ginning and harvesting operations using federal reference method, or FRM PM10 samplers. But we've seen at Texas A&M that theoretical and observed sampler bias has been observed in the presence of larger size particulate matter, such as what's emitted by cotton ginning and harvesting operations. So just to give you some background, oversampling has been reported, and I have nice graphs to show you this. This first graph, right here is a PM10 sampler operating in the presence of dust that is the same size as the cut point, which has a MMD of 10 microns. And you can see these two areas. This red area is dust that's small that should be captured on the filter of the sampler, but is not. And this blue dust is dust that is larger than the 10 microns, and it's not supposed to be captured on the filter, but is. And this is how the samplers were designed. And as long as this red area and the blue area are equal, everything's good. But then when you move on to this graph over here, where you have a much larger MMD, still using a PM10 sampler, this MMD is 26 microns in this graph, which is a little bit larger than what you would see from a cotton gin, but still it gives you a good perspective. You can see that this blue area, which is the dust that should not have been captured on the filter, is much larger than the red area, so that poses a significant problem for samplers operating in the presence of larger dusts. And these graphs are all theoretical, so this is just something that has been calculated. And along with the sampler bias that I just talked about, there's been a suspected shift in cut point and slope of the FRM samplers, which we've seen through field research at cattle feedlots and cotton gins and things like that using these FRM samplers. So these samplers aren't performing as designed. Now, the implications of this are that there could be inequitable regulations because of these inconsistent samplers that could lead to inappropriate fees for industries such as cotton ginning and cotton harvesting operations that emit the larger size particulate matter. And so, like I said, that includes cotton ginning and harvesting operations. Just for those of you who aren't familiar, here's a little bit of idea of how the PM10 samplers are designed and just some of the parameters that the EPA uses when they designate these FRM samplers. They have a cut point or a D50 of 10 microns, and then they have an upper and lower boundaries of 9.5 and 10.5 microns. So what we're doing at Texas A&M, we have a wind tunnel on campus that we're using to determine the changes in the cut point and slope of these FRM PM10 samplers using a wind tunnel and polydispersed dust. And what we'd like to do with this research is to determine if and under what conditions these FRM PM10 samplers are performing as specified by the EPA. So within those guidelines that I just showed you before. So here's a schematic of the wind tunnel. Just to give you a brief overview, we have a big fan down here and it blows a bunch of air, depending on the wind speeds that we choose, up into here, and this is where our dust is fed in. We have another fan right here that allows for mixing, and then right here is our testing chamber where all of the samplers are located. And then here's a picture of inside the testing chamber with some tests that I'm actually running right now. And a little bit more information on these testing. It's a randomized complete block design, and we're using 5 different ambient dust concentrations, 3 wind speeds, 2, 8, and 24 kilometers per hour. And the reason why we chose these wind speeds is that those are the ones that the EPA uses when they're designating samplers as federal reference methods. So we thought it would make sense to kind of use those. And we're also using 3 different dust types, which I'll talk about right now. We have this blue line is smaller ultrafine Arizona road dust, which is representative of what you would find in urban environments. This red one is a fine Arizona road dust, and it's about the same size as the cut point of the sampler, so that's just as a comparison. And then the green line, if I could get this mouse to show up, is the cornstarch, which is more representative. It has a larger size, and so it's more representative of what you would see in agricultural operations such as cotton gins. And so what we're hoping to get from the wind tunnel is to either using these results that we've find are to develop correction factors for specific operating conditions. And right now I know that there's some people at USDA that are working on determining the specific operating conditions around cotton gins so that we could use those to develop these correction factors. Another option is to use TSP samplers, which capture everything that's in the air, and then use those filters that we collect and run a particle size distribution to determine the concentration of whatever size we're looking at. And so the EPA kind of has a problem with that, just in how the filters are treated and what happens on the filters. And another option that the EPA also doesn't really like is to develop an entirely new PM10 sampler, which is probably not going to happen, but it's another option just to let you know. And so again, to repeat the implications of this, because these samplers are not operating as designed, there could be inequitable regulation due to these inconsistent samplers that could lead to inappropriate or increased fees for industries emitting larger size particulate matter. And so the next steps, later this month, some members of the Ag Air Quality Task Force, I think a few of them are present in this room right now, are going to meet with the EPA to discuss the sampler bias and to kind of talk about what we're doing at A&M. And also, obviously, we'd like to complete the wind tunnel testing and develop a method, hopefully one of those three that I presented, to account for the sampler bias. I'd like to acknowledge the sponsors for this, the Cotton Foundation, and a grant from CSREES and AgriLife Research. And I know I have a bunch of time left over if any of y'all have questions. Yes.
Mary, if you were put yourself in choose the people who'll be going talking to EPA, and you said that they're probably not going to change the PM10 sampler because they got too much money and so for agriculture, what would be the recommendation you would make to EPA to resolve the issue?
That's hard. I personally, just because I'm doing the research at the wind tunnel, I think that developing the correction factors would probably be the most applicable, just because you could continue to use the methods that you're already using and just apply correction factors depending on the conditions that your sampler is operating in. So it would involve the least amount of changes, which is usually good because it's hard to implement some changes. Anyone else?
Okay. What's next for you on
this work? I'm currently running the wind tunnel right now. I anticipate finishing all of my testing by the end of January. I would like to graduate in August, so need to get everything taken care of. And so I anticipate having results to present at the ASABE meeting for those of you who will be present in June. Yes.
Assume your wind tunnel is horizontal. Do you have any settling out in the course of the run?
No, that's why. See if I can go back to it. This fan right here is to encourage mixing after the dust is introduced so that there's not any settling.
What's your next slide? Which types of sampling are you?
All of these pictured right here. Right here is the older style, I get these confused. Cone TSP sampler, and then the louvered PM10 sampler. And then here's the flat PM10 sampler, and then back here, if you can kind of see it, is the newer TSP sampler, the dome style. And so there's been research that shows that there's no difference between the flat and the louvered PM10, but we just want to use both of them. We have them both available, so just to see if there's any difference between those two as well. Yes, Dr. Shaw.
With regard to the settling and the concern over the different concentrations that each of those samplers might be exposed to, was there any research done to measure the variability within the cross-section of that sample, of that wind tunnel, to ensure that indeed these samplers were exposed to equal concentrations?
Yes, there definitely was. When I think it's Jing, is yes. Okay, when she her dissertation was to design this wind tunnel, and so she definitely did a lot of testing on that. And it, this isokinetic sampler right here, there's an entire row of, you could connect 9 separate ones and run them to ensure that all the distribution of the dust and everything is the same throughout this entire testing chamber area right here.
Do you still do that in each one of your tests?
No, that would be very time consuming. Right now, as it is, running the wind tunnel, some of those tests are 8 hours long, so.
So the tests you're running are comparing the different concentrations you get from each one of the samplers?
Yes. And then also looking at if there's a shift in cut point and slope of those samplers.
Yeah, that was the next question, how long you run the test for?
It depends on the dust. What I did to determine the testing time was to look at the cut point and what EPA says is the cut point and slope of the sampler, and using the size of the dust and saying this is how much dust I would anticipate being on the filter. And I wanted it, I think it was 0.6 micrograms, just so there would be something to analyze for particle size distributions and something that I could see a change.
Okay. Oh.